the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. I want you to notice God is sending a famine. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I want you to grab a hold of that passage for just a minute. This is a I don't know if you want to call it a warning message or a message to grab our attention. But I want to talk to us for just a little bit tonight about a famine of the word. A famine of the word. Jesus, God, I need God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to say what you want me to say. God, that you would anoint my lips, anoint my heart, anoint my mind. God, to be able to preach as your oracle. God, to say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, move upon our hearts, challenge us. God, stir us and cause us, Lord, to see things maybe a little bit differently than how we have. And God, let there be a hunger created that cannot be quenched. In the name of Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen. I had a blink up here on my microphone, Brother Steve. I may need a new one here in a minute. So I'll just give you that warning right off the bat. A famine of the word. As I was reading some time ago, I came across one of the saddest prophecies in the Bible. At first, when I read this, I thought to myself that this was in some way an isolated prophecy. But as I studied more, I realized that this had happened multiple times. And this to me is one of the most dangerous places to be. This happened during the time of Amos, or was prophesied during the time of Amos. He prophesied from 767 BC until the fall of the children of Israel to Assyria in 722 BC. He was warning them that the end was near. He was telling them that the end is coming. But just as many do today, they didn't want to hear him. And what he said was, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor water, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." I want you to think about those words for a second and let them sit in to your spirit. They weren't going to be without food. They weren't going to be without water. They were going to have their physical needs met. But something else would be missing. There was something else that was going to be a famine of. It wasn't going to be a physical needs. It wasn't going to be a hunger and a thirst for the natural things. but they wouldn't be hearing from the word of the Lord. In other words, there was going to be a famine of the word of God. Like I said, I thought when I first read this that this was an isolated incident, an event that had already taken place, a punishment to this group of people that found its way into the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when they didn't hear a word from the Lord, when they were looking and trying and wanting to hear from God, and yet they couldn't. But as I studied this out, I found a spiritual condition that existed before this prophecy was ever made, and well after this prophecy was ever made, that there is, and there was, and there will be a famine of the word. I want you to watch this for a second. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Understand, not meaning that it was precious and that they revered it in a special way, but it was precious for another reason. "And there was no open vision." It was in the early years of Samuel that there existed a similar condition. There were but a few revelations. The reason the Bible says the word was precious was because there was but a few divine revelations. There was no prophet speaking. There was no men of God that were ministering. There was no public accredited prophet that was there. Instead, they were wandering in darkness. It was in the days of Saul that the Bible records in 1 Samuel 28. "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets." I want you to notice what took place. Saul tried to find God, and he couldn't hear his voice. He couldn't hear from God. He had become rejected. He had become cast aside. It was the writer of the book of Psalms, of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, that wrote during the time of captivity, and said this in Psalm 74:9, "We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long." They said our prophets are gone. Men of God, people who are sent to preach the word, are gone. Going to the New Testament, we find a similar path in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now you've heard me say this before. It's not the people having itching ears. It's the teachers having itching ears. It's the teachers that want to be congratulated for a good sermon, who don't want to cause people to feel convicted, who's afraid that somebody might walk out or get upset because they heard the truth. I'm here to tell you, I've preached some things very plain in recent weeks, and I'm here to tell you, I've seen God move in the hearts of some people. I've seen it happen. The truth does not scare people. The truth does not drive people away. It's our attitude that does. The truth will never do that. What the truth will do will convict and cause us to recognize that I need to find a place to seek God. There will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, after their own desires, make me happy, preach something I'm gonna like, make me feel good, say everything's gonna be okay, even though I'm not living right. Say everything's gonna be all right, even though I've got my back turned on God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The word endure there simply means to put up with. In other words, they will not put up with sound doctrine. And so scratch my back, preacher. Make me feel good, preacher. Make everything seem right before me, preacher. Don't tell me that I need to change. Don't tell me that I need to live holy. Don't tell me I need to live right before God. Don't tell me I've got to do some things different. Just make me feel good. I'm here to tell you I can make you feel good, but I won't get you to heaven that way. I can make people feel good. I can tell some cute stories, and I could start. Look, if I wanted, I could tell a cute story. I could tell a sad story about a dog dying and have half of you crying. And call it a move of God. But I ain't done anything to help anybody. There is a famine for the word of the Lord. The Bible says it like this in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, they'll learn and they'll learn and they'll learn and they'll learn. And I'm all about education. And I'm all about you go to school. You get done with school. You do good in the education field. But let me tell you, there's one thing we've got to do. And that is seek the face of God to know the truth. I'm sorry, I know I was all pumped up earlier and we were talking about some good stuff and everybody was all excited and then I switched the tables on you. I'm sorry. Titus 1:16. They profess that they, I told you this theme runs through the Bible. They profess that they know God. Hear me. They profess that they know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. They profess to know God, but their life doesn't back up the words. What they're doing doesn't line up with what they say. What they're doing doesn't line up with the God they say they know. I'm going to bring this home, maybe. Reprobate. Literally, it means unapproved. That is rejected. By implication, it means worthless. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. I want you to catch that middle word there, disobedient. because you want to know where this all is going to turn. It's going to turn right there. And unto every good work, worthless, unapproved. God says, you profess to know. That's why they preach in his name. They heal in his name. They do all these mighty works in his name. And when they get to heaven, he's going to say, I never knew you. I'm telling us today, there is a famine of the word of God. How does a person get here? How does this happen? Paul explains this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, the truth is presented, but I don't want to hear the truth. The truth is said, but I want to block that out. The truth is preached, but it'll make me change. It'll make me be different. I may have to live different, act different, talk different. And when we stop our ears to the truth, the next step is reprobate. We must be very careful not to resist the truth. We must be very careful. I'm telling you, we live in a world where the word of God is precious, meaning it's not, the word isn't everywhere. We must be careful not to resist the truth. Because the last thing I ever want to take place is that I had an opportunity. The word was being preached. The word was being given to me. The word was being showed to me. The word was being taught to me. The word was being exampled for me. And I resisted it. And God said, if you want to resist it, I'll let you be. Because when we resist the truth, we are walking towards a path where God says, if you don't want to hear my voice, I'll send the famine. If you don't want to hear my words, I'll send you teachers having itching ears. If you don't want to know what's right, then I'll allow you to believe a lie. You study the Old Testament, you study the famines, and you watch what a famine was a result of. David said there was a famine in the land. Why? Because Saul had sinned against God. You read about Elijah and Ahab. There was a famine. Why? Because Ahab was not serving God. Let me tell you, if you feel dry and you feel empty and you feel like there's a famine going on in your life, you better check, because it just might be that God is not pleased with something, and you might need to find a, oh my goodness, you might need to find a place where you say, God, I'm not getting up from here until you touch me all over again, until you put back in me that conviction, that burden, that zeal, that fire. I'm preaching to the church. I know who my audience is. You love God. You serve God. You're here on a Sunday night because you're committed and because you want to serve him. Let me tell you, there has to be something on the inside of us that says, I'm never going to resist the truth. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to give it everything I've got. I'm not getting down the road somewhere. That's where people get messed up. Because they stop pursuing it. They stop chasing it. They say, I've gone far enough. I've done just enough. I'm done. And so the famine comes. And you just use the excuse that says, well, I'm just going through a time right now. I'm just not hearing from God. I'm just going through a time right now. It just must be a wilderness period where I'm just not hearing, but I'll keep doing my duties and I'll keep doing my things and I'll keep going through. I'm here to challenge us today. I'm here to challenge us today that we need to search ourselves. We need to search ourselves. If there is a famine in your life, if you're feeling that dryness and you're not feeling, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit until I feel, until that rain comes again in my life, until that fresh touch of an almighty God comes into my life, until Jesus. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Oh, but it goes on. It goes on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That is the world we live in. There is a famine for the truth of the Word of God. There is a famine out there. But guess what? Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I have come to be the bread of life. I have come to be the water. Jesus said, I'm the Word, the Logos, the thought or plan of God. Can I tell us, church, we've got to not only pursue after the truth, but we cannot be ashamed of what we have. We cannot be ashamed of what we believe. We cannot be ashamed of what we hold is true and what we hold is right. And watch. Who knowing the judgment of God, knowing that a judgment is coming, knowing what the Word of God says, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That whole list that I just read, that's the list he's talking about. They which commit those things are worthy of death. But watch, not only do the same. In other words, they do it also, even though they say. But watch, it gets even better. But have pleasure in them that do them. Well, I would never do that in my life. But I'll take pleasure watching someone else. Oh, I won't backbite. I won't commit those sins that were mentioned there. I'm not going to be a hater, and I'm not going to do all those things, but I'll go ahead and stand by and let somebody else do it. Who, knowing the judgment of God, who knowing better, who knowing what's right, who knowing the truth of the Word of God, just don't do anything about it. Just let it go. Just allow it to take place. No. No. Because let me tell you what takes place when we walk down that path. There becomes a famine of the Word of God. The Word of God stops speaking. The Word of God stops talking. Both the written and the spoken. If it's been a while since God dealt with you for anything, if it's been a while since you felt conviction about something, I feel to say this in the Holy Ghost. If it's been a while since God stirred your heart about something, and you've heard His voice, and you felt it quickened, you need to find a place. You need to find a place. Until that famine is broken. Because the last time I checked, none of us are perfect. You know what that means? If I'm not perfect, God is still dealing with me. If I'm not perfect, then God is still challenging me. If I'm not perfect, God is still causing me to walk towards Him and saying, Joe, you can change a little bit here. And Joe, you can do something there. And Joe, let me talk to you about this. And Joe, let me quicken you about that. But the moment I feel like I've arrived is the moment I'm walking in a dangerous place. Take heed where you stand, lest you fall. Let's all stand. There's a reason I'm challenging us here tonight. Because I'm challenging us to go deeper. Because as we go deeper, we're going to pull others along with us. As we go stronger, there's going to be others that see it and follow us. As we stay, they stay. I've heard it said. I've heard it said that people will always live a standard that's below their leader. And so if I am not willing to dig deeper and try harder and do more, you, which I view as people who this church looks up to, if we don't go stronger and don't go deeper and don't pursue more, then they, I know this ain't easy, but God is challenging this church. Because I believe he has something great in store. But he's waiting for us. And when we do it, and someone else steps up, someone else steps up, and the next one steps up, and the next one steps up. And if everybody takes one step in the same direction, guess what happens? You know, they've actually said that if all of China at one time would take a step in the same direction, would jump in the same direction, that the world would tilt. Because there's a power in unity. I preached it this morning, and I'm preaching it again right now. That if we will take a step together deeper, what could happen to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends who we've been praying for, who we've been seeking God for? Something has to go beyond my faith, and it's got to step into an action. It's got to step into what I do. And so tonight I open this altars. Maybe tonight you feel as though you need a touch from God. Maybe it's been a while since you felt the presence of God. It's been a while since you felt that touch. Don't leave here tonight without getting a refreshing. Don't leave here tonight without feeling that again. Maybe you need to pray tonight, God, let there be a rebirth of conviction in my life. God, I'm sorry if I've ignored things you've talked to me about. I'm sorry if I've ran away from some things you've been asking me for. And I'm sorry if I've ignored you and I haven't done the things that I know is right. And I've ran from them and I've walked away from them and I've compromised some things and I've let some things go and I haven't done what I know I'm supposed to do. God, forgive me. Because Jesus, I don't want to be reprobate. I don't want to be worthless. I don't want to be rejected. I want your word speaking in my life. I don't want there to be a famine, Jesus. I don't want there to be a famine in my life. I don't want there to be a famine of your word in my life. I want it to be speaking to me constantly and consistently, and I want to feel it strong. These altars are open. These altars are open. Let God speak to you tonight. Don't get mad at me. I'm not being mean. My heart is not being mean. I want to see us flourish. I want to see us in heaven. I want to see us strong for God. I want to see a church that's on fire for Him. I want to see a people who are in love with Him, who are pursuing Him with a passion and with a zeal. Stir us, Jesus. Stir us, Jesus. Don't let your word go by us. Don't let us just be ever learning but not able to come to the truth. Don't let us, Jesus, know your judgments and walk away from them. Don't let us, Jesus, resist